reading from the, can you hear me in the back? Yes? Okay, but when I start to speak, I'm going to go all the way back here, so that question will be completely irrelevant. So if that happens, let me know. But I will try, but at least 50% of hearing is seeing. Italians, it's 75%. And with me, I'm like that in a way. So if you want to stop me from speaking, just hold my hands. Then I won't be able to speak. Okay, but you can hear me, Nitai? Okay. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 38, Text 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Yadikshataham rahato pyasatsato svatejasa pasta tamo bida brahma sumayatman rachatais chatarikshaya pranaksha dibi Sadhaneshva Biyate. He is the witness of material cause and effect, yet he is always free from false identification with them. By his internal potency, he dispels the darkness of separation and confusion. The individual souls in this world who are manifested here when he glances upon his material creative energy indirectly perceive him in the activities of their life affairs, senses, and intelligence. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Pistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kedamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay. This is a Kura Leela. Who could remember another term that would describe this pastime? It's also known by something else besides Hari Parshat. Manorata, the chariot of the mind. It's the mind that the mind that carries us to Vrindavan. And Hare Kirtan, welcome. You think you want a chair by the door?
I don't think that would be necessary. I just want to make sure. We'll bring in one more chair.
Okay. So the speciality, of this Leela is that it shows you the mind that you need to actually achieve Vrindavan. So I'd like to review the Leela up until this point. And describe the verses that we so far have discussed. And then you can use it as a template to judge your own mind if your desire is actually to go to Vrindavan. And that's our objective. Our objective is back to Godhead, to get to that place. And, you know, basically what you'll see is a Mahamati, a great mind, Mahabhaga, a most fortunate person because of his mind. And it's a mind just absorbed in the aspirations to attain Krishna. Now, when we go in our own mind, myself included, even though I have the seat, there's a lot of other things in the mind. So many fears, so many ambitions, so many desires for revenge, so many disturbances with the idiots of the world, so many things in our minds. But the great mind, it has lobha. It has greed. Krishna, Krishna. I want Krishna. I remember, I won't tell the whole story. I want to keep on track, but I just remember when Malati, who was helping Prabhupada and her daughter, Saraswati was only 4 years old, and there's a story where a life member gave her a silver Krishna deity because she was so cute. And then Prabhupada became concerned because, you know, a person steals that deity. It's more than a lot of people in India would make in a lifetime. They sell the silver. So Prabhupada advised them to give her a brass deity instead. And she became very upset. She became so upset that her mother and father, who were Prabhupada's secretaries, couldn't do their service. Because she was just saying, I want Krishna, I want Krishna. Your Krishna's there. That's not my Krishna. I want Krishna. And it was so disturbing that Prabhupada said, call her in and I'll talk to her. And she came in before Prabhupada and said, what's the problem, Saraswati? She says, I want my Krishna. Prabhupada said, oh, that's very, very good. He said, because the great devotees never say, I have Krishna. They say, I want Krishna. And would you like me to teach you a song that tells you that this mood is very good? She said, yes. And then Prabhupada started to sing the last line of the Sad Goswami Ashtakam. Hey Radhe Braja Deva Ke Chalalite, Hey Nanda Suno Kuta. And where is Krishna? The greatest devotees, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? So this type of desire, I want, And that's really the difference between Shraddha and Ashakti. The stage before you actually get your real, where Krishna's internal potency enters into your consciousness in such a way that your consciousness cannot be distinguished from Krishna's internal potency. Like an iron rod in fire becomes fire, our mind becomes that internal potency. It becomes infused with it to such a degree that our relationship with Krishna becomes fully awakened from our hearts. But before that, your consciousness has to be exclusive. Maybe the different stages at Shraddha, you appreciate Krishna, but you appreciate so many other things. Then Sadhu Sangha, you're appreciating Krishna more. So you're with the devotees, and that's your desire, but there's other things. And then there's Anartana Vritti, get rid of all the other things. Then Nishtha, you become fixed in your devotion. And then Ruchi, there's taste, but there's still other things pulling you away, but your taste is strong enough. And then Ashakti, where it's spontaneously, that's the voice. Our Krishna consciousness is the voice in our hearts. And the people that are advanced, that voice is all-consuming. That's their desire, nothing else. It can't be easily imitated, but that's our goal. Like Queen Kunti, Vipata Shantu Tashashva Tatra Tatra Jagat. Let those calamities happen again and again. My objective, my goal, is this remembrance of you and what facilitates that. In English, we have a phrase, easier said than done. But you have to have, so let's see the mind. So I'm going to just summarize so far. Kamsa gives him the order. He passes the whole night chanting the holy name and not sitting on the chariot, because he wants to offer the best to Krishna. He doesn't want to use it first. So we get a hint of his devotion. From this, tremendous devotion awakens in his heart. Bhakti Param Upagata rises. Param Bhakti. Tremendous devotion for the lotus-eyed Krishna. And lotus means something extraordinary, transcendental. The lotus has it's in the world, but it's an object in the world that looks like it's out of the world. It's always used to describe Krishna, the qualities that are just unlimited. And then he honestly, and these are the things that we have to come through our minds, he honestly develops tremendous gratitude because he is wondering how he has achieved that. Madhavananda spoke the other day about entitlement. Bhakti is not entitlement. Just like one great image I have is Lord Brahma, after Lord Brahma became humbled. And you know, Krishna just Yogeshvara, the master of all mystic potency, and then he sees Krishna and his senses become so overloaded. His senses become so overloaded that they shut off and he becomes blind and his foreheads hit the ground. And then he's in the ecstasy of smallness. I call humility happy small. He's happy small, where the devotion can flow from your heart, where you can actually be grateful, where you can actually chant the holy name all the time, because you're grateful, and therefore you appreciate the holy name, and you can feel God's mercy and love, and then that love and that compassion that fills your heart. And then he begins to pray, and I like this one prayer. And you have to, it's called a hexadem, but if you go by a screen and the sun is shining through, you'll see what are normally imperceptible. They look like little strands of dust. Sometimes they're called hexadems. Whatever the scientific thing is, they're so small you ordinarily can't see them. And he said, just as universes are pouring forth from the pores of your body in one breath, all the universes. And when Vishnu breathes in again, then they become unmanifest. Just as that, the hexatoms are coming through the light. In a similar way, I'm like a Brahma on a particle of dust coming through your body. So who am I and who are you? So much gratitude. So he's thinking, how is it possible? By my own effort, arate ditam, I must have done the charity of serving a great Vaishnava, because otherwise how could I possibly have qualified for Krishna? And then he begins to reflect, who is Krishna? Uttama Shloka. The top verses can only be applied to this person of the most beautiful Krishna Kshetra Maharaj. Come. It's okay. Your seat's here. So happy you could come. Okay. Arate Datam. And then reflecting on God's on himself and his lack of qualification, then he has another realization of Krishna, Achyuta Darshana. I am seeing that person who is infallible and infallible in his mercy and kindness, and therefore I can achieve God. And Prabhupada says, hope against hope. Hari Parshad, I don't know if you could hear it because he didn't have the microphone, but he gave a great analogy from, who was it from? Rupa? From Rupa Goswami. He said, when you take a lotus stem apart, the roots are very thin threads. And if you keep on pulling it to try to break it, the threads will keep on expanding. So that's analogous to the chance we have to get Krishna, but it cannot ashabandha, it cannot be bound, because it is possible, not by our qualification, but by Krishna's unlimited kindness and mercy. And then he starts to get that confidence, I will achieve him. I will achieve him. And actually speaking, Adya, today I will be in Vrindavan. And that means my sins have been destroyed. And then he begins to visualize, I will offer obeisances to Krishna. Wow. The yogis, yogi dhyaya. The yogis are meditating for thousands of years to just get a glimpse of Krishna's lotus feet, and I will be in his presence paying obeisances. And then his heart and consciousness in this humility becomes overwhelmed with gratitude. Now, I read one commentary and somewhere, and I somehow lost it, but it described that almost like, you know, the first budding of the real you. Because we have this mind with all these thoughts and all, what's the real us? Yoga means to live within the soul. And all these thoughts of our ambitions and this and who I are and the identity and I'm insulted and I'm praised about and all these things based on the false ego. What's the real you? It first manifests in our feelings of gratitude, our feelings of humility, our feelings of compassion. Real, based on that, the spiritual consciousness, gratitude. We have some gratitude. Because what we are getting is so far beyond what we deserve. Talk about the straws floating in the ocean that somehow come together or somehow come to the shore. How did we wind up at the lotus feet of Prabhupada? Must have been lucky. Must have been really lucky. Prabhupada says in one purport in the Nectar of Devotion, he says, no one can come to Krishna consciousness. That means uttama bhakti. Not just offering rice to the deities and asking to get your daughter married, but actually this kind of pure devotional service where the objective is to please Krishna. No one can come to Krishna consciousness without some previous connection to it. And that's some thought. It's not easy to have that conception of Krishna, not as the order supplier, but is the object of love and devotion. Then Prabhupada makes a qualifier to refer to me. But even if there was no connection, by the mercy of the spiritual master. So those feelings of what we are getting, who am I and who is Krishna? Who am I and who is Prabhupada? And the acharyas, and the holy name, nama shreshtam manum api sachi putram atva, all these wonderful gifts, atva sarupam rupam tasyagrajam uruparim matara gostavatim radha kundam girivaramaho radhika madhavasam kato yasya pratita kripya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi. So this is his mind. And he's feeling it. And this kind of humility and gratitude and aspiration is what's really driving the chariot. Otherwise, it's wonderful to cross the border and enter into Vrindavan. But I know from living there, a lot of demons enter into Vrindavan too. Because I used to manage in Vrindavan for 20 years, and what we have to deal with is the foreign registration office from Mathura. They represented Kamsa. You can't believe how they used to harass us. And then one day I was doing Harinam in Mathura, and I passed the office of the foreign registration office, the Kotwali, and I got so upset when I saw their motto, Puritanaya Sadunam Vanashaya Chuduskritam. I was going to switch it around, Vanashaya to Sadunam, Puritanaya Duskritam. They protect the rogues and they destroy the devotees. And then, in this, looking at his life and how much he suffered serving the evil Kamsa. He didn't even have a minute for devotional service. He would wake up in the morning and the demons would start lining up. He'd have to organize their transportation to Vrindavan to kill Krishna. That was his job in the morning. But he would send his servants to Vrindavan. And they would come back in the evening and tell him what they saw. So he said, Ati Anugraha, inconceivable mercy of Kamsa. how Krishna is giving himself, it's inconceivable and hard to accept. Which reminds me of the joke I heard when I was young. There's an old Jewish guy that finally gets back to Godhead, and he's ready to enter into heaven. And then he says, before I come in, I want to see the guy in charge. No, we represent them. No, I want to see who's in charge. So the guy, God comes out. He says, I have a question. God says, yes. What is your question? Are we the chosen people? Because that's the Jewish thing. They're the chosen people. God said, yes. He said, would you mind choosing someone else next time? Some jokes don't go over. I thought that was hilarious. Okay, I'll go on. No one got it. Okay.
Well,
it just wasn't a good joke. Okay. Or maybe I told it so many times that everyone knew the punchline.
You need a little more, familiarity with.
Oh, really? Okay. It's an inside joke.
It's a little inside.
Okay. Okay, some of my jokes are only for people over 65 that were born in New York, okay? I realize that. It's like this. When they start saying, who's Bob Dylan? That's happened too. And some of the people here are saying, Bob Dylan? And then the Atyanugraha, the insurmountable ocean of material existence. Because again and again, we do the same thing. Life after life, universe after life, species after life, species after life. We do the same thing and it doesn't work. How insurmountable is that? How insurmountable is that? And then he starts to think, these lotus feet. It means everything about Krishna, not just the lotus feet, but especially in his mood of Dasya Ras, he's first approaching the feet. It means in a mood of humility and a mood of ultimate glorification of someone's greatness. If the when we were doing kirtan, I passed a shoewala. I think they call him in Hindi mochiwala. Mochi means dirty. Because of the feet touch everything. So the feet are considered, you come in, take your shoes off. Because there's shoes, wash your feet. But the feet, so how great is a person when the feet are exalted? So then he says, Brahma worship these feet. They're the abode of opulence. And Lord Shiva and Lakshmi, they're the abode of fortune, and the sages, they're the result of intellect and discrimination. The Vaishnavas, they're the abode of devotion. I'm going to see these. And what do? Those feet, they walk in the forest of Vrindavan with the gopis, those feet that are on the with the cows, those feet that are on the breast of the gopis. And then he keeps on thinking, it's so high, how will I attain this? And then again, Drakshyashi, right? I will, because there's a deer on my right, there's an auspicious omen, and I will see the face of Mukunda, who is the reservoir of all beauty. Now, can you imagine how he feels of who he is and what he's getting as that chariot is moving towards Vrindavan? Now, we go to today's verse. And I do have a strategy that we will finish the Leela within today and tomorrow. But now what happens is, he's thinking, this is God. He's the witness. He's the witness of material cause and effect. The witness means he's aloof. He's not absorbed in this icha, dvesha, samutena, dvandva mohena, bharata, this desire and hate. This is God. He's the witness. But how can such an aloof person, situated always in full knowledge, be so attached to all these activities in braja? He's the butter thief. The butter thief. I have to tell my favorite butter thief story. If I don't get a laugh, I'm going to give up my career. Giriraj Swami wanted to see all the pastime places of Tamal Krishnamurti in New York City. Because he grew up in the upper west part of Central Park, where in Harlem, actually. That's like 90th or 100th Street or something. So we met with Kasturba, who would be the tour guide, because he really knows, he's a disciple of Tamal Krishnamurti, knows all the places of his pastimes, where he played catch with Kalachandri, his brother, where he threw the ball off to school, where his house was, and we were all excited. So we congregated on 57th Street at the beginning of the park, and we're making our plans about, you know, what we'll do. We'll walk through the whole park and we'll go. And then this guy sitting on this chair, this seat, because it was by a bench, he looked at us and it was kind of scary, and he said, "You know who your Krishna is?" He said, "He's a butter thief." Okay, I'm retiring. Isn't that fun? Butter, I guess that's another New York thing, Pancharatna. Okay.
You can pull out.
What? Something, okay. Get it? Butter thief? No? Okay. All right. So he says, but who is this person? He is the witness, aham rahito. He's devoid of aham, limited ego. He doesn't have that ego, that false ego. He has a real ego. He says, it says, he's not beat us. There's no separate. He dispels the darkness of separatism. And what is that separatism? Between who you think you are and your real identity. We think we're the body, but we're the soul. God does not have that. And why? To enjoy and control. Selfishly. God takes the position of enjoying controller. He is that, but it's for the benefit of everyone. And he doesn't even have the concept that he is. Especially within the position of Krishna. He's not ordinary. That always has to be there. And he's free from this false identification. So I described that Krishna's Aishwarya, his position, is always there to support our feelings of intimate love. Because if we lose respect for Krishna and think he's just ordinary, will also on the conditioned state lose our love for Krishna. And therefore it's described previously in the kitchens in India, it was wood. So you have a feast and you, right, Radhacharan, you remember in the black hole, Bibi Govinda Swami cooking that sweet rice for the feast and the milk is boiling. And what do? You throw some straw in it. The secret, the milk doesn't boil over. But it disappears and just occasionally comes up. So that's in Krishna's pastimes. There's that Aishwarya. Even sometimes we see the gopis are talking about his incarnations. There has to be some conception of that. Just to keep the mood of servitorship, which is the basis of all spiritual relationships. In the material world, that can be completely gone in a conjugal relationship. It can be just for my own sensuous enjoyment. But that's not anything of the spiritual world. So that the sense is there. All sins are destroyed and all good fortune is created by the Supreme Lord's qualities, activities, and appearances. And words that describe these three things animate, beautify, and purify the world. On the other hand, words bereft of his glories are like decorations on a corpse. So look what he's saying now. His just appreciation is getting deeper and deeper. And this is what should happen in the practice of bhakti. As we advance in spiritual life, the conception of Krishna's, the magnitude of his greatness, should continually increase, inspiring a depth, greater and greater depths of humility and gratitude. So this is what's happening in his mind. Bhakti Sanjayate Bhakti. The bhakti is increasing. And as the bhakti is increasing, that desire for Krishna, it becomes like a hunger. Well, hunger means I don't have food. But bhakti is a hunger, so the very thing that you're being filled with, you think you lack. As it increases. The great Vaishnavas are humble. They're feeling so much bhakti. And their hankering is so strong. Their desire keeps on increasing, and therefore they're thinking, I have left less and less of the very thing that they have. So he's saying, I'm going to see the person who just by listening to his qualities, just by the words about him, all sins are cleared. What to speak of serving that person? If just hearing about the person, all sins are cleared. What to speak about serving that person? And therefore, what is the greatest gift that is given to the world by Krishna? It's those words which purify. It says it makes beautiful, they give life, it purifies. Without Krishna Katha, there's no life. You know, you have a temple, it's a structure. But the life of the temple is Krishna Katha. Without that, there's no life. In our life, there's no life. If we're not chanting and hearing about Krishna, there's no life. That's what gives life. Why, therefore, all the great acharyas, they give books. They give books. All the acharyas, they give books. One time I was with Vaisheshika Prabhu at Ter Kadamba. And he had such a nice meditation. Because I was describing there that this is where Rupa Goswami wrote the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And he said, you imagine what Rupa Goswami would think if he's in this Ter Kadamba Kunj, where the same book that he's writing is being distributed around the world? Because why did he write the book? To give life. And without that, there's no life. There's so many big cities. If there's no vibrant spiritual center, it becomes a graveyard. And everything they do in the city becomes the decoration of a dead body. Because there's so many words spoken, the media capital of the world, New York City. But it's dead. There's really no life. You can see how that Harinam gives life. You know, when you're in a place in the city and it's kind of dark and everybody's miserable and walking around from one place and they don't have any knowledge. That's what I always reflect upon. That what is the gift of Prabhupada? He gave these words. He gave this knowledge. I personally reflect on this in a very interesting way. Naturally, my parents were very upset when I came to Krishna consciousness. And then gradually, you know, they would hear me speak. I mean, then some people would visit my house. And then one time, my parents' house one time, I remember Borijan visited, and my father talked to him for a few minutes. And my father looked, he said, "Damn it." I said, what's wrong? He said, "Every person I meet connected with you is smarter than the next person." I said, my father's from Brooklyn. I said, "What's the problem?" He says, "I think I'm getting sucked in." And then my father then said another thing. He turned to me and he said, and this is the highest compliment that in that culture you could give someone. My father looked at me and he said, "I have three sons. And you're the only son with his head screwed on right." And then I began to reflect, why? What's the difference? And I look and I walk down New York City, I see so many people. What's the difference? It's the knowledge that was given. That's all. It's we're in Guru Parampara. We're connected to spiritual knowledge, not only spiritual knowledge, but knowledge of all aspects of life come in the Vedas. And it gives life. And it gives beauty. Just like Vrindavan, you may go and you may see externally, you may look at Vrindavan externally, and it may not initially be beautiful, but if you go in the right way, under the right guidance, And enter into the people who are serving Krishna and the inspiration to serve Krishna that's there, it absolutely becomes the most beautiful place in the world. Group after group will say that. There's one story that Radha Govinda Maharaj told on this particular verse. He said there was one sadhu. But, you know, there was a mirror, and he was kind of like looking in the mirror. Maybe, okay, he's putting on his tilak. It's like 20 minutes now, and he's like, he's kind of looking in the mirror. And a senior sadhu comes behind him and says, "What are you looking at? There's no beauty there. You don't have any compassion." So actually what's beautiful is the internal. In the spiritual world, there's no difference. The internal manifests in beauty because it's bhakti. And therefore, there's desire to please. And it manifests in so many beautiful things. Why is Radharani the most beautiful? Because the essence of Ladini Shakti is Krishna Prema, when Krishna prema is intensified, love of Krishna the highest degree, it becomes mahabhav. What is that? What is that mahabhav? I want to please you. It's so intense. And she's mahabhav sarup. She's the form of that. She's beautiful to please Krishna. So ultimately, it's the spiritual qualities that make beauty. Krishna is the ultimate. And the other words, bereft of these glories, decoration of a corpse. So much information, and it does nothing for you. It does nothing for you. Pajalpa, idle talk, ultimately leads to sadhananda or criticism of Vaishnavas. Because if the tongue is not controlled, it's going to access our desires. And before you're a Paramahamsa, the desire to criticize is going to come out because it's so much fun. We love it. We love it. Did you hear what that person did? So, yeah, and that analogy, the decoration of a dead body, I mean, imagine someone dies and you start putting on a mukut and you know, the garland and the jewelry, and it's got to be connected to life. And real life is Krishna consciousness. The same Supreme Lord has descended into the dynasty of the sattvatas to delight the exalted demigods who maintain the principles of religion he has created. Residing in Vrindavan, he spreads his fame, which the demigods glorify in song, and which bring all auspiciousness to all. Again, his words. He descends. Okay, there's two reasons here given. One, to delight the demigods. Sharma means peaceful, to make them peaceful, because they're doing God's work. Got to be a little sympathetic to managers. Naranjan Swami once gave me good advice, you know, and he said it's advice he gives. Sometimes people feel I want to get both sides of the advice, but sometimes people feel oppressed. You know, they may have a legitimate complaint, but in your mind, you should first consider how difficult it is to manage and the headaches that one takes. You know, and then that'll be easier to express your needs if you feel it's too much. And Prabhupada was like that. He supported his managers. I remember one time I was in Dallas, Texas, and Satyarup Maharaj came and told me that he was actually chastised by Prabhupada because he removed one manager from the Detroit temple named Govardhan who had brought, I think, Ambarish to Krishna consciousness. And then Prabhupada told him, so important, is service not rewarded? The only way not to make mistakes is to do nothing. And that's a mistake, Jayadvaita Maharaj. Your jokes get more than mine. But we should make it like that. We should also understand that, right, that's a mistake. So people put themselves forward. It should be appreciated. So Krishna is appreciating the demigods, Amarya, Amara, Varya, the excellent, the chief demigod, Lord Brahma. He's given him that headache, manager of the universe. So he's a little sympathetic here. And he also spreads his glories, which a demigod's glorify in song, because they say also in Indra, after he had that experience where he thought Krishna was an ordinary boy, and he called the Samvataka clouds, and it was coming down, and then the water in Vrindavan, the high and low places became even because the water filled up, and the cows and the calves, they were almost about to be drowned. He picks it up the hill, and then Indra tries to destroy it. Nothing happens. And then he becomes purified. He becomes purified, Indra. And then when he leaves, he's humbled. And the interesting part, one quality of Krishna mentioned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is that he's grave. He doesn't easily reveal his mind. He's grave. And the example was, after Krishna was accepting, you know, Indra came with the Sarabi cow, because Indra came to Lord Brahma and said, "My God, you know, I just thought he was a little kid, and then like, he held up this hill, and then I tried to destroy the hill, and not an ant or a blade of grass on that hill was destroyed. I made a mistake." He went to Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma said, "Well, don't ask me. I just last year I made the same mistake. I also thought he was this." But if you want to please Krishna, the Gautamiya Tantra says that you worship the cow. You worship the cow. You had a point?
Yeah, that's right.
What's that? What's the verse?
Gavam kanduyanam chaiva, gograsam gopradakshinam, goshu nitya prasannasu gopaloki prasidam.
And what does that say?
Gavam kanduyanam, scratch the cows.
Scratch the cows?
Gograsam.
Feed them.
And
circumam the cows. And when the cows are eternally happy, then he gave them that, then Krishna will be happy. So he went, and then, you know, Indra started to offer all kinds of prayers and different prayers, and "I'm sorry, and you're so great, and I'm nothing, and please forgive me." And he couldn't get any reaction from Krishna. You know, you want at least something like this, like, you know, a little twitch of the head or something, you know, nothing. He was just so, that's the example of Krishna being great. Indra couldn't read his mind. Does he forgive me? Is not. And of course, in Gaur Lila, I think he comes to Sarabi Kunj, there's some story that he has to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya to be forgiven or something. But what happens to Indra after this? He starts talking. He goes around the universe. "My God, this is actually Krishna." And he lifted a hill. He started telling the Govardhan Leela. Started singing songs about the Govardhan Leela. Which brings Ashesha Mangalam. Ashesha means unlimited auspiciousness. So what's auspicious? Vrindavan's auspicious. If you're always healthy, that's auspicious. If you're wealthy, that's more auspicious. And if you have good relationships, that's auspicious. So these are the three bases of material karma. But this is Ashesha Mangalam. It's Vrindavan. You're healthy, wealthy, and have many friends, but it's all based on glorifying Krishna. That's a Sesha Mangalam. We're trying to make this retreat auspicious. We're giving good relationships. We're trying to feed people. We're not doing so good on the health. All my jokes are just nothing today. I don't know. Maybe there's a culture gap. People told me they like my humor. I'm going to give up here. I get no respect. Okay, I'll just tell. Okay, my favorite comedian was called Rodney Dangerfield, and his thing was, I get no respect. So he said, I get no respect. My family treated me so bad, I felt like committing suicide. I called the suicide hotline. They encouraged me. Okay. I got some of them quoting. I have to quote authorities to actually. My own jokes don't work anymore. So Asesha Mangala, they bring just words about Krishna, bring unlimited. And then he says, today I shall certainly see him. He's getting the confidence by glorifying Krishna. He's getting some reciprocation in the heart. He's feeling Krishna. He's tasting Krishna. And he's getting some hope. The guru and spiritual master of the great souls. Great souls, the spiritual master of the great souls. The goal and the practice, gatim means the goal and the practice, the guru. The well-wisher of guru always means well-wisher. Those people who are mahatmas, who have the right goal and the right practice, those people who are the well-wishers of everyone, they take shelter of Krishna. And that's the person I'm going to see. Seeing him brings jubilation to all who have eyes. For he is the true beauty of the universe. Triloka Kantam. What does that mean? Triloka Kantam. This is 13, 14. Trilokya, he is?
Trilokya Kantam.
Yeah.
He is the Kantam, who is the most beloved object of all the jivas.
He's the most beloved of all the jivas, of all, everything in the world. This is the object of all love. That Supreme Lord. I shall see him who is of all those who are the well-wisher of everyone, all those who have the right, I will see him. And seeing him brings jubilation to the eyes. I don't like that phrase is Drishiman Mahotsava. It's a festival for the eyes. And sometimes in the world, like when you see a good friend, right, you become happy. There's something like that. Sometimes I see it, the Puri Yatra, we haven't, you know, seen each other, some people, for some time, and you see people that you love or something, and you become happy, and it's a joy for your eyes. So Krishna is the ultimate festival for the eyes. The ultimate festival of the eyes. Indeed, his personal form is the sheltered, desired by the goddess of fortune. We know this is, Lakshmi is wanting Krishna's. Now all the dawns of my life have become successful. So the success of your life, everything we've gone through, I think this is some very difficult understanding of karma that people could understand, that when we are going through difficulty, we can't understand the meaning. But if it's given us a deeper realization that's brought us to a higher level of consciousness, then we can understand it was worth it. So if we go back in our life and we look at all the troubles we've had in relationship, in career, in health, etc., and if you had the fortune of association with spiritual knowledge where you're able to digest it to some degree and bring it in your consciousness without traumatizing you too much, and you look back, then you make the decision, this was worth it. If I think where I was 40 years ago and thinking that I've improved now where I am now, it was worth it. Not when I was going through it. Then it was, why me? So all the dawns, not of this, but every single life, what is it all about? 8,400,000 species of life, in universe after universe, to come to the point where we will see Krishna. And it's so good that it was worth the price. It was actually worth the price of everything we had to undergo a lot. That's how good Krishna is. And he's realizing it now. And he's realizing it just by thinking about it. Just by hearing about it. He hasn't even been there yet. He's just heard from his servants who he sent to Vrindavan. They come back in the evening. But what happened now? Oh my God, it was raining in Vrindavan and Krishna lifted up Govardhan Hill. And, oh, did you see that? Yeah, it was a flute. My Bahar Pidam is peacock feathers, threefold bending form. They killed another demon, you know. Because it was 12 years, so it was since Krishna was young. So he stole the butter. It was in the storeroom, and the butter was up. It was fresh butter, and he climbed up on the little chairs he made, and he stuck his cane in there, and the butter came down, and all those monkeys of Vrindavan. The monkeys of Vrindavan. Later, a commentary will come, because when Akura finally gets there and he comes to Vrindavan, and then you have the scene where Krishna is walking back to his house for his parents to dress him. So you can imagine, you're in your house, and who walks by but Krishna? And you're like, look out for the wow. And then they go to the cow shed, and the commentator that I read said, As many monkeys as there are in Vrindavan now, they used to be the cows. When you go outside, the cows used to steal your glasses. Okay, a joke. I got something. Not much. there's so many cows. Now all the dawns of my life have become auspicious. How good is that? You wake up in the morning, oh, is that what's bothering you? You look in the morning and the difficulties. Now, we're going to read a little bit about his vision. And his thirst is increasing, and therefore his desire, his greed is increasing. He has greed. Right? See, you think he's going to be satisfied just with Krishna's lotus feet? He wants to see Krishna's face. He wants Krishna to embrace him. And ultimately, what he wants Krishna to say is, my dear Akrura, in love, having Krishna recognize him. So, So let's see where. Then I will at once alight from my chariot and bow down to the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. And I'll keep one hand on one Balaram's feet and one hand on Krishna's feet. But beholding his feet there, I know this will happen. And theirs are the feet that great mystic yogis striving for self-realization bear within their minds. I will also offer my obeisances to the Lord's cowherd boyfriends and to all the other residents of Vrindavan. I'll not only see Krishna, but I'll see everything in Vrindavan. And I'll worship everything. Because there is not a flower in Vrindavan, a tree in Vrindavan that has not offered its flowers to Krishna. There's not a flower that has not been picked by Krishna. There's not a piece of dust of dirt, sand that Krishna has not stepped on. And I'll see I'll see the cowherd boyfriends and I'll see all his friends. Right? We become joyful. Krishnanu Shilanam. Bhakti is our activities follow Krishna, but Krishna is not limited. It also includes his differentiated parts and parcels. That's also Krishna. And we derive great joy. And then I will light from my chariot and bow down to Krishna Balaram, and I will see Prabhupada. Wow. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, and I'll see Rupa Goswami. They'll all be there. We'll be excited. So he's really excited. He's going to see Krishna. And the same feet that the great mystic yogis striving for self-realization, dhyadritam, with their intelligence, yogi beat, but the mystic yogis, dhritam, they hold on with their intelligence to Krishna's lotus feet. That's what I'll take shelter with. And fools, they take shelter of so many other things. Facebook, that's nothing now. Instagram, for Krishna. So many other things we take shelter of. But the yogis, the Adratam, they're just holding on to Krishna's feet. They're just holding on to Krishna's feet. So now we see the minds. The minds of the great souls that carry them to Vrindavan. And how do we get that mind? By this. By hearing the Bhagavatam. That's what gives life. I remember the best, I have to say, the best Kartik I ever had was in Gita Nagari. Because it was the one year in like 44 years where I was not in Vrindavan. So I was in terrible separation from Vrindavan. And then it was Kartik. What am I going to do in Kartik? So I said, Radha Damodar are the deities of Kartik. So I went to Gita Nagari and I performed like a very strict Kartik Vrata, the traditional thing. And every day I went to one place of Krishna's pastimes and I taught Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in the morning, and then they would have two Damodar Ashtakams in the temple, and Bhakti Tirtha Swami came, and we went. There's even a house that Prabhupada visited, and they have Govardhan Hill. But I saw that I was doing Krishna Katha every day, and it really gives life. And we can't actually forget that, you know, with all our buildings and all our facilities, you know, we have to be responsible to give life. Engaging Krishna Katha, because this is, the message is Krishna, the Bhagavatam is Krishna, and recorded, Prabhupada makes that, when in the first canto, when the last question of the sages of Namasharanya asked, now that Krishna left the planet, where will knowledge and detachment reside? And he said, it's the Bhagavatam, it's as brilliant as the sun. And Prabhupada gives brilliant commentaries about that, how it's Krishna in recorded form. So it's actually association from Krishna. So we have to give life. We have to speak about Krishna and in the appropriate way, as Prabhupada gave. So this is the purpose of this retreat, to actually, and this is the Gaur Leela. This is the Gaur Leela. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to finish it, and the theme will be rasa, because the tattva is given. And there's two ways to read the Bhagavatam, Jiva Goswami describes. One is for understanding, and one is for relish. And unless you get the understanding, you won't have the relish. Sambandhagyan, which means metaphysical knowledge, also means knowledge of relationship with Krishna. So unless you have that foundation, so I think we could really read the verses and discuss them, and even go into the last part of the Leela, which Lord Chaitanya was meditating on, when the chariot wheels start to move and Kura is taking Krishna outside of Vrindavan and the gopis and Radha throw themselves in front of the chariot. We know that painting. A beautiful painting of that was done by B.K. Sharma. One of the most famous. And he came to the Smithsonian one time, and he stayed in my friend's house, and my friend bought about 40 of his paintings, and all over the living room all these paintings now, and you know, and the other paintings were gone of his great great uncle who was the ambassador of France, and all these ones, they just started to go. And right out of his office is the painting he did of that Akura Leela. It was so much Bhav, where the gopis are hanging on the thing and throwing themselves in front of the car. So we'll read that tomorrow, with relish. Now, I'm very much into Vaidhi Bhakti because I'm so regular on the time. Someone accused me of that. But I counted. I said, Krishna has an astika lila smar, and he does things regularly on time. Then the other point I made is when there's good management, you don't see it. So you can actually be very spontaneous. When there's not good management, that's all you think about is the management. So I am very much, I said 8:30, I stop and I give time for this. Okay, so Krishna Shetra Maharaj, this is the mic, so you walk this around, Jankor. And after
I'm just trying to imagine cows stealing your glasses.
It was an optical illusion. object is an optical illusion.
I think they'd use their tails. The theme that you brought again and again about the power of the word, the power of the words, and how it's through Krishna Katha, how it's by hearing that everything starts to manifest for us. And that when those, because we live in a sea of words. I mean, just our minds are filled with words, a constant flow of words. And everywhere we look, there's words and sounds. And without words, we don't have a way to even properly experience things. We experience through our other senses. We see, we hear, but it's the words that give it meaning to us. And this description about how when those words do not connect us with Krishna, then they're just the decorations of a dead body. But that when they do, when they connect us to Krishna, when they bring us into that source of everything, the source of the object of all words, ultimately, is Krishna. And then we make those connections. So it just, you know, that was the power of the word and Krishna Katha, Hare Krishna.
You mentioned how the more one gets bhakti, the more one feels that he doesn't have it, and so the hungrier one becomes. That was notable. And also that prajalpa leads to sadhananda.
As you were describing the mind of a Krura, I was thinking how one of the characteristics or features of the mind is obstinance, and that a mind fixed on the desire to have Krishna is a very positive kind of obstinance. Stubborn. So the mind in its conditioned state is just the opposite. It's obstinate, but that obstinance is the obstacle. And as the mind becomes purified, it develops pure obstinance in the form of the desire to see Krishna. So with the obstinate mind, sometimes it's so obstinate that logic and glorification and affection are not enough to sway that mind, especially if that mind is the mind of a small child. So I'm wondering if Saraswati was pacified by Srila Prabhupada's explanation.
Okay, the answer is, and I think everybody can hear me, that she was pacified, and while Prabhupada was explaining it to her, then it almost like a comedy thing, like in the door was Jamuna, Guru Das, Maladi, and Shyamsundar looking in. And Jamuna said that when Prabhupada had explained that to her, she actually became pacified. And Jamuna said, seeing that, the hairs on the back of her head were standing on end. And therefore, That reminded me that when Tamal Krishnamurti told me that Prabhupada said that Yamuna had Baba. Okay. Narada Muni, you want to make a comment, but it's got to be within a minute. Okay? Sure.
Vakrishwari.
Not this. Oh, she's going to translate.
Vakrishwari Mataji.
I want to see Krishna. It's in my head.
Mayapuri Maharaj сказал что-то, одну вещь я слышал все время, но он не сказал это директно здесь.
In Mayapur, you said something which I heard many times, but here now you didn't say it directly. You said it in Mayapur.
I want to see Krishna.
It was the goal of Akrura. He wanted to see Krishna.
Maharaj сказал, что материальное тело, если и мы хотим это материальное тело достиг, мы всегда не получаем то, что мы ожидали.
You said that if we have material goal and we strive for it, we never get it.
I said what?
If we have material goal and we strive for this goal, we never get it.
Okay, so what is his question?
Вопрос.
А если цель духовная, тогда получаем больше, чем ожидали.
But if we have a spiritual goal, we get much more than we expected.
Oh, okay, I'll explain it. Because we have other people that need to make comment.
It was a reflection.
Wait, what's that?
It's a reflection.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a reflection.
Акрура пошел, чтобы увидеть вас у Девы Кришны.
Akrura wanted to go to Vrindavan to see Vasudeva Krishna.
But
and his proper attitude with this proper attitude he saw different Krishnas than he expected. He saw Yashodanandana Krishna, not Vasudeva Krishna.
И это дает мне ключ понимать для себя.
And it gives me a key how to understand myself and what to strive for.
Мадхавананда Прабху сказал, какая же наша цель?
Мадхавананда Прабху explained what is our goal.
На этот парикраме.
On this парикрам.
Если я достигну эту цель и получу больше, значит, я правильно шел к этому целю.
And if I achieve this goal, that means that I was doing the right thing on the way to this goal.
А если у меня получится так какое-то неудовлетворение, значит, моя цель была нечистая, у нее были материальные.
But if I will not be satisfied at the end, that means that this goal was kind of material, tinged with selfishness.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you.
Hey. Thank you, Krishna.
My reflection that I was going to say was very similar to what Hare Kirtan just said about the manuvratena, the chariot of the mind. I was struck by that because usually you use that term manuvratena when your mind is going all on a material sense. You know, it's taking you all over the universe. But then it just brought another little piece of the puzzle together because earlier in a previous lecture you talked about what's the little instrument called that reflects, gets the sunlight in?
Mike?
what?
Magnifying,
thank you. Magnifying glass, and makes the sunlight goes through the magnifying glass onto a piece of paper, and it burns. So when the consciousness is so focused, like Akura's consciousness was so focused on seeing Krishna, then all of Akura's desires become fulfilled, and none of Kamsa's desires become fulfilled.
Very good. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And the point I had made was that spiritual aspirations will be fulfilled if you have a sincere desire. Mm-hmm. Material aspirations will ultimately be frustrated. And that with material aspirations, they're never as good as your expectation. They wind up as good as what you think they'll be, and spiritual aspirations, they wind up better. And I've seen that with people coming to Vrindavan. They come in the right way, they're thinking, oh, I'm going to be in Vrindavan, and then it can wind up better if they do it the proper way.
By any chance, Maharaj, would you like to repeat the progression that you made when you talked about Shraddha means you have some faith in Krishna, but we also have other desires, and you went through the whole process.
Okay, I'll do that.
Thanks. You don't have to do it now, but...
Okay, I'll do it.
Okay.
The Buddha, maybe you can contribute something, and then a few other people. Thank you.
I liked your idea of humility is happy small, because a false ego... is we want to be the greatest, we want everyone to notice us. So humility is happy small. We're happy to not be noticed. We're happy to just be a servant. We just don't want to be the master anymore. And that's what we saw in Srila Prabhupada.
His name was never... I remember when I went to South India... in 1977 or something like that, everyone was talking about Achyutananda, this Prabhupada's disciple. You're Achyutananda, because he was a Westerner and he spoke the language. And it was so different than most movements, when the movement was named after the person. And here Prabhupada's movement was spreading, and they didn't even know who was Prabhupada. You know, so Prabhupada promoted Krishna, not himself, and it was so evident. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Anybody here like to make a comment? Okay. What is your reflection?
Thank you for your lecture, Maharaj. Actually, I really like this one about gratitude, that we get more than we deserve. But I think that it's really important to understand that we get enough, because sometimes we feel that maybe we deserve more, you know? And it's really important to catch this feeling that we actually get more than we have to have, you know? Also, I really like your phrase about death city, city of death, you know, like that it's graveyard.
What?
Graveyard. Yeah, I really like this one.
Graveyard.
Yeah.
There's no glorification
of Krishna. Yeah, because we're kind of like zombies here, right? And we have a lot of decorations around us. Yeah, and I really like this one because it's really visual pictures, right?
And you can experience it. Yeah. Like if you become a devotee and you don't find your association, then the whole place becomes dark.
Yeah.
And if you're in a place and there's like good association, then that place has life for you.
Yeah, thank you. So.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? We have a little more, a reflection? Okay, Acharya Nishtha in the back there. We still have a few more.
Thank you, Marge. The one point I just caught on to, you mentioned it briefly, was how Akura's glorifying Vrindavan because there's no particle of dust that wasn't touched by Krishna's feet. There's no flower that was not offered. So this is why Vrindavan is such a stimulus. There's nothing in Vrindavan that's not prasad in the sense of its relationship with Krishna. Everything is being offered to Krishna. So it just, it glorifies aspects of the Dham and of that realm that we might not think about.
Yeah, that's our Siddhanta, our conclusion about the nature of the Dham. Yes.
And just want to think that I really appreciate this point, how the Krishna Katha is life. It reminds me of the statement of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that one who has life can preach. Yeah. And this really...
Yeah, I was thinking of that point, but it didn't come in my frame of reference. It's an important point. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, one who preaches has life.
And, so,
and when you actually share Krishna consciousness and actually have to speak it to someone, it's one of the most absorbing activities. If you talk about manovrite, you know, the mind, it becomes so absorbed when you have to actually repeat something. So it's a great Krishna Anushilana. There's so much. And that's really what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and Prabhupada really emphasize and realize, that especially in this age where there's so much competition for your mind, if you can somehow share your realizations with others. And Prabhupada, even like that girl Saraswati, he really used to repeat that someone should just share whatever realizations that they have. And Prabhupada used to like that she used to go to a big, you know, Indian Life member, you know, aristocratic, wealthy, and said, "Do you know who Krishna is?" And they go, "No." And she said, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead." Prabhupada appreciated that. Okay, the mic can come back up here. And we'll make some announcements. And following the stop when you're ahead philosophy, it's good. I think I even may even have it here. I may have come to another level of technological genius. Okay, I got, okay, yeah, yours is clear. I did.
Krishna Kshetra Swami Maharaj is making his book available to those interested. There is now a sheet on the bulletin board for devotees to sign up if you'd like to get a copy of his book.
If you want a digital copy of my book, there's a sign on the board that tells the link where you can get it from the publisher. If you want a hard copy of the book, it's the same place on the web, and it's available at 40% off presently, the publisher is giving. What's the book? The book is Cow Care in Hindu Animal Ethics.
You can see that Krishna Kshetra Maharaj is a pure Brahmin. Doesn't have a Vaishya bone in his body. You can get my book for free. You can also pay for it. Okay. Now, with a Vaishya bone in my body, you can buy my book, and I don't give it for free. There's only 7 copies left. You can get it at the table. Okay, really? Okay. I write my... Prabhupada said we should write our realizations. I write them every week. They come out every Monday morning. Jagannath Priya? Yeah, she'll, if you, not on it, it's only in English. And maybe you can also, if anyone wants, they can give you, and then you can put it on the board also during the day if anyone wants to sign up. And when you do these things, make your email address clear, because sometimes we don't. Checkout time from Ishopanti is midday, right? So that's, what, the day after tomorrow. Okay. If you had not signed up for a taxi list and would like to help in leaving for the airport or train station, please sign up downstairs at the notice board opposite the entrance. Taxi from Ishapanti to Bhuvaneshwar may take about 2 hours. Please calculate that. Jagannath Priya, again, if you'd like to take dry Jagannath Mahaprasadam, there are 300 rupee and 500 rupee boxes available. She will collect the names in Lakshmi, but you and give it to the person who will get it from Jagannath Mandir. And he's going to do that at 10:30 a.m. today. Okay, now just two other announcements. One is today we're going to do kirtan from 4 to 9 o'clock. And I think the retreat has been wonderful, but I think the last 2 days, maybe a little bit more intensity. We're actually staying back for a whole day of kirtan and katha at, let's say, 10 o'clock. You can congregate downstairs. We'll do kirtan for about 45 minutes, and then Hari Parshad will give part two of his class in here at 11 o'clock. And at 4 o'clock, we'll have the kirtan till 9 o'clock. I will personally be there at 4 o'clock to participate. And if we can have good participation, mostly through, we can have really absorption. And all these feelings and aspirations and desires that should be coming from the association here and seeing the deities and the places and the association and that mood of separation and really wanting Krishna, it'd be a really good time almost to have personal time, even though there's so many people, to chant in that kirtan with real feeling and express your desires. And we'll have Sankirtan, which is together, which gives special feelings of bliss. So as much as possible, let's have a good participation. Jagannath Priya, I'm going to give you one more job. If you like to lead kirtan, because we'll have 5 hours, let them give you their names, okay? We may not be able to fit everybody in because obviously we have some really good kirtaneers, but the last few days we haven't even been able to fill up the full time. Okay, Jagannath Priya? People want to do kirtan, they should give you the name. And then with Akinchana Krishna, we'll make a list and a schedule. Jai Dwaita Maharaj, we expect you also to do kirtan today, so we'll give you a half hour, please. And of course, Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj. One other thing, just to explain, this is briefly, because we're not going out today, so if I go 5 minutes more, it's not going to really affect things so much. Just tell you a little bit history of this retreat. How long have we been going? Do you know how many years? 13 years? Wow. Lucky. 13 years. And the way it started, I can tell you, I was taking lunch with the personal cook of Tamal Krishna Maharaj in Vrindavan, called Gopal Raj. And my old friend Gunagraha Maharaj came in, and he introduced me to this devotee who had joined in 1978, did Sankirtan and organized things, and then went into Grahastha Ashram, got married, and he became a successful businessman. And then he disappeared for so many years, and now he was coming back, and he introduced me to him. And then he said, well, you know, next year when he comes, he'd like to go to Puri, and we'll go to Puri. And he'll pay for the whole thing. So I contacted Madhavananda Prabhu and Krishna, Madhavananda Prabhu and Krishna Kun, and, you know, we formed this team, and he paid for the whole thing. You know, and I remember Jai Dwaita Maharaj came to one of the first ones, and we really didn't have this place, and we have different hotels, and it was such a struggle. It wasn't as many people. So we found a place, the Prabhupada Hotel, and Jai Dwaita Maharaj's famous comment was, the only thing about the hotel that's Prabhupada is the name. and then proceeded to steal all the Mayavadi books that they were selling. You don't remember that. Okay. And we went on and like that. And then the person retired, and he's a real good businessman, and he calculates his finances, and then he said, well, now, you know, I can only pay for this much, and the next year less. And then one year, then he said, well, I can't pay any more, you know. And then we came up with the idea of, well, we're not going to charge, we're just going to have donations. And it kind of worked. And then especially last year, somehow all the feasts were sponsored. So, you know, I don't know if it's good news or bad news that so many people are leaving the world in one year, but all the feasts were sponsored, and like that. And we were able to actually now develop, you know, kind of like a little fund, a little bit more, which makes it so much easier to manage. Because sometimes we're deciding, can we afford this room at 2,500 rupees a day? And can we afford this and that? So it gives you like a leeway to do that. So we made a little fund. And I would basically say that we could look at it this way. Either this year, we're still 48,000 rupees short, or we took money from our fund, because this year we started to give out scholarships to several people who actually are in ashrams, either Mayapur or Vrindavan, sincere people that couldn't pay. So, and generally the last few days, people give something more. So if anybody would still like to give, maybe Atita Guna, can you do that service? You're feeling well now? You can see Atita Guna Mataji. And we'd like to keep the fund at least where it is. And it really gives us the leeway to actually make good decisions for the retreat, to make it good. Okay? So we'll end for now. We can take prasadam in 5 minutes. At 10 o'clock, we'll start the kirtan. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki.